Gracious Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the objective standard, the truth that we have by looking into what you have for us in your word, which has been handed down to us faithfully and accurately for so many generations, that we may have complete confidence in it as the very word of God. And we ask now that you would both strengthen our brother Mike and soften those of us who will hear him. Strengthen brother Mike that he will have regard only for you, Lord, and not for men, that he will preach your word boldly and accurately. And soften our hearts, Lord, that your word may have its way with us, that we may see Jesus Christ presented to us in the pages of your scripture, and that we might leave changed by that encounter. Oh Lord, be with us now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, please bring us the word.
Thank you for this opportunity to come and preach the Word of God once again to you. Our text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also is delivered out of the mouth of the lion." There were times in the life of the apostle where he had brethren battle with him against the forces of evil. But there were other times that the apostle stood alone. We read in verse 16, "At my first defense, no one stood with me." There are times that we not only feel, but are indeed standing alone. If a man is preaching the truth, many times he stands alone. So it was with the apostle. He experienced much affliction. The latter part of the verse speaks also, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Many believe that this has reference to Nero's rage in that day, a cruel leader that was compared to a lion because he devoured and destroyed the flock of Christ. Whoever confessed himself to be a Christian would be put to death in that day. As a convicted enemy of mankind, he was viewed as a bloody monster. He would round up the Christians, this evil man would, clothe them with wild beast skins, and then dogs would tear them to pieces. It was a difficult time for many Christians. What you have here, and the apostle is speaking of, is the singular experience of the favorable presence of Christ, the strengthening that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ when all stand alone. The truth of our text is this, is that the presence here spoken of by the apostle is a gracious, a favorable, or imminent presence of the Lord with his faithful people in their greatest troubles, their deepest distresses, and the most deadly dangers. You remember the man Joseph. Joseph was falsely accused. He was treated poorly by his brothers. He was cast into prison as a result of much conflict. But here's what we read regarding Joseph in Genesis 39 and verse 20. "Then Joseph's masters took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But now we read verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph stood all alone. He was deserted by everybody that he knew. Family, of all things, deserted him. But the Lord stood with him. Prison couldn't keep the Lord out. There was the imminent presence of the Lord. And by God's presence being there, why, it turned into a palace, a place where the Lord was. Remember, Paul and Silas, they were persecuted, and they were preaching the gospel, and people didn't like it, and they were cast into prison, Acts 16, verse 25. But in their stocks, as they were in prison, beaten as they were, their backs bloody with the whips, those stocks and that place turned into a music school of singing praises to the Lord. Why? The imminent presence of God was with them. A godly saint of old, Bradford, after he was persecuted for his stand regarding his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was put into prison. It is said of him that he had better health than before when he was out. He found favor with the keeper of the prison in that day, where the prison keeper would let him go during the day, wherever he pleased, upon the promise that he returned to the prison at such an hour in the evening. One of the famous martyrs back in time, he delighted in the prison and viewed it as a pleasant green meadow as he communed with his God. All of this spoke to the imminent presence of the Lord that attends all of his people in the times of the greatest affliction, strengthening. And Paul says, nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. He gave me grace, just like he did Paul and Silas. The divine presence will make a man stand fast and firm under the greatest pressures. David, as a young lad, stands before an invincible enemy, Goliath. Yet God's presence was with him, and he won the battle. An old preacher said upon David, he said he slung as if he had wrapped up God in that sling, went right to the forehead, and the enemy went down. The presence of the Lord with his people in the most deadly dangers fills their soul full of courage and confidence and comfort. Darkness comes upon a dying man. There is that presence of Almighty God holding his hand, squelching his fear. There were three men in Daniel's time that stood for God and would not compromise. The ruler of that day penalized them by saying that because they would not bow the knee to him, they would be put into a furnace of fire. A furnace of fire that was so hot that just to get so many feet to that furnace would just consume you. It was so hot that no one could ever endure. But the three stood in that furnace, the fire blazing. There was a fourth one there. The king was amazed. I thought it was only three, but there's a fourth one. The presence of the very Son of God turned the fiery furnace into a garden of delights. There was in the midst of the flame no fainting. There was no shrinking. There was no souls in panic. As the three stood with the presence of God before them, there was comfort, there was peace, there was ease. The Lord delivered. And so it is in our text. Christ will dwell with his people in their lowest hour. He will be present. The greatest danger, he's not asleep. He will be there. He will comfort them. Saints were persecuted, but they were not conquered. They were cast down, but not cast off, says Paul. God manifests his presence. Well, how does he do that? Well, let me just give a couple of ways in our study this morning. How does God manifest his presence in our greatest troubles, in our deepest distresses? Well, first of all, by raising the faith of his people to a higher level than they had before. When you look at certain situations, you wonder, how in the world can I ever endure and carry on? And to the mind and to the heart, it seems utterly impossible. But when the time comes, faith is raised to a higher level, where the Spirit of God, says our text, strengthens. And in so strengthens, brings out graces that we have within our hearts to a much higher level, sustaining us, keeping us. Haven't we ever said, I don't know how they ever made it through that. I don't know how he made it. By the presence and grace of Almighty God. To give an example, in Exodus, the 14th chapter, you remember Israel is fleeing Egypt. And as they're fleeing Egypt, why, the Egyptians changed their mind and now they're after them with their army to annihilate, to kill them. That's their intent. And as they're running, the Egyptians are following with this great army. In Exodus chapter 14, listen to what is said in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Isn't that often the case? When affliction comes, instead of looking to the Lord, we look to ourselves. Here they are complaining, little faith. Here they are resentful of God's deliverance. God is delivering them out of that land. But they have a problem. They're fleeing. And as they come to a place, they find out that they cannot go any further because there's the Red Sea. And they look around, they see the Red Sea. They look over around the other side, and they see the Egyptian armies coming. That's a tough place to be in. Where are we going to go? We can't fight these Egyptians, they're going to slaughter us. We can't go over here because you have the Red Sea. How in the world are we going to get out of this jam? Notice the faith granted to Moses, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." God elevated the faith of Moses. Moses is a man like all the rest. And Moses did not have a blueprint. He didn't say to them, "Well, here's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to part the Red Sea." He didn't know. But his faith was raised. He knew God is in control. And God has promised to keep his people. And God, who is the mighty God over all men, he will do whatever he pleases. He will deliver us. His faith was raised to a very high level. And the Lord did deliver. The Lord came at the time that was appropriate and delivered them by parting the Red Sea. You see, strong faith will help a Christian in great distress. Moses had received no particular promise, and yet the Israelites were delivered. God will fight against the enemies, defeat them. He knew that. He's saying to these Israelites, as he's mouthing this promise in verse 13 and 14, he's saying, in a sense, look, compose yourself. Act with faith. Hope in God. Don't doubt, don't murmur, don't faint and fret. The enemy is not stronger than your God. Faith can look through the perspective, can look through the perspective of the promises and see deliverance at a great distance. Salvation is at the door. Our senses says deliverance will not come. Our reasons say deliverance can't come. Yet raised faith gets above all fears and says deliverance will certainly come. Redemption is at hand. You remember the spies who went over to Canaan. They go over the land of Canaan. It's a land of milk and honey. Gorgeous land. They come back. Most of the spies give a bad report. There are great, huge men. We cannot at all cross and go into the land. If we do, we shall be devoured. We'll be slaughtered. It can't be done. Caleb, however, did not feel that way. The Lord raised his faith to such a mighty pitch that Caleb says, "Let us march. Let us go. The Lord will defend us. And the Lord will be on our side." He saw through the eyes of faith that here were a people that did not have the fortress that they seemed to have. They did not have the intimidation. They did not have the force. Caleb was a man of faith. God raised his faith when all was doubting. Just as he raised the faith of the three Hebrews there in Daniel chapter 3, he raised their faith to such a pitch. They knew that God would deliver. And if God did not deliver, it was for his glory. They did not presume upon that. But they were confident that God would indeed deliver. Paul says, "No one stood next to me." but the Lord did. And that is the promise to the people of God. In times of great affliction, great distress, the Lord's presence is there. He has promised to be with His people. And our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says that He is the one who strengthens. He is the one who gives grace. God's presence is manifested in His exclusive work of strengthening the believer, whereas the believer's graces are put into action, upholding him in times of affliction. Graces that were maybe somewhat shadowed and not completely dormant, but laying low, are brought up to the surface. He is the one who strengthens. Paul endured. He endured a lot. God gave him the strength. And the apostle knew that the success was only of the Lord. That's it. It was of the Lord. He is the one who strengthens. He is the one who gives grace. He is the one who keeps us. In John 15 and verse 5, it says that without me you cannot do anything, and says our Lord. Without me, you can't do anything. It doesn't say, without me, you can do some things, but it says you can't do anything. All is of God. In the most difficult times, He is the one who gives this grace. However, many of us act as if it is of our strength. When we do not pray, and we do not call upon our God and plead our case before Him, are we not saying, in essence, well, Lord, I can do it on my own strength. I don't need You. You see, those who are in affliction are praying people because they know that their strength, as Paul says, comes from the Lord, not within. Some people are cocky enough to say, well, I can handle it. I can do it. I got the strength. No, you don't. In times of affliction, it's only God's strength that will uphold you. That's it, not in yours. And God says, you have not because you ask not. Where are we upon our knees pleading and praying, Lord, grant me grace? You see, there is this close communion with our God. If indeed we sense His presence and He's strengthening us. Two words of application this morning. The first is to the people of God. God's strengthening and that imminent presence of God felt in the life of a believer will be clouded if you are walking in disobedience. Grieving the Spirit, walking in disobedience, will cloud that. Where it will appear as if God is a stranger. You remember the psalmist in Psalm 39 speaks to this very thing in verse 7. Where we read it, now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. When we go on sinning, disobeying God, acting like carnal men and women, then what does that mean? Well, for the foolish, it makes them happy. We're a reproach. They make fun of God. Ha ha, they're Christians and look at what they're doing. My life isn't so bad. He says, I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was You who did it. Remove Your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of Your hand. When with rebukes You correct man for iniquity, You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry, and do not be silent at my tears. And here's a little phrase, for I am a stranger with You. Don't expect to feel the imminent presence of God if you're walking in disobedience. With your rebukes, you correct man for iniquity. You sin, and that presence is not felt. You find yourself, as you continue to walk in disobedience further and further away, and here the psalmist says here, "For I'm a stranger with you." Don't expect blessing. Forgetting God each day. Not running to Him. Broken relationships. Not dealing areas of sin. Lusts of the heart. All of these things that cloud the relationship and grieve the Spirit of God. The Scripture says, and David says, "Lord, leave me not to myself. Rebuke me. It is kindness." When there is faithfulness to come to the soul and tell me, "Look, you are the man," as did one to David of old. "You are the man. You are sinning against God. You need to repent and turn. Oh Lord, that you would come and that you would make me by your grace to deal with my sins, that I might walk with you and sense your presence in time of need." Don't expect God's blessing if you're going to walk in disobedience. And then secondly, strength comes of God. Strength that is acquired through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say that this world is not going to last forever. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. When He returns, men will be ushered into the presence of Almighty God to stand in judgment. God has said in His Word that those who disobey Me shall surely die, not only physically, but spiritually. I tell you, this is what you should do, and you tell me, "No, God, I won't do it." God says, "I want you to do this." You say, "God, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. And what I want to do is contrary to what you want to do." The Lord says, "The end of sin is death." And God says, "Listen, you will pay for that." Justice is that you'll have to pay for those sins that you've committed. And I tell you, there's none righteous, no, not one, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are in this predicament. All have sinned. All have disobeyed. You're going to have to pay for the sin. And in that day, you will stand, says the Scriptures. And God will summon you to account for the sins and disobedience, and you will have to atone for them. The Bible goes on to say that man can't atone. Nothing that you can bring. You have no lawyers, just yourself. There's only one person that has any clout. One person that can make a man right with God. Only one person that can atone for sin. One person that can take the punishment due for sin. Only one person, which is Christ. And you must come to Him. The Bible goes on to say that in this life, While you have breath is the time when salvation is near, is the time to come and believe and put your faith in Him. It's a time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the record of Scripture regarding your heart, that you're a sinner, condemned, can atone, and that Christ is the Savior. And to lay hold of Him by faith, believing that. It is now. Once death finds you, eternity will fix you. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to come. What about you? Will you have the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ in that day standing in your stead, pleading your cause? Or will you stand alone? Will you stand before a God that you've never paid attention to? You've never dealt with the areas of sin? In fact, maybe you don't even know what some of the areas of sin are. When you think, well, you say I've broken the will of God, but what's the will of God? You've never even read the Bible. You don't look at the Bible. You don't read the Bible. You don't even know what it is. You stand before Him. And there in your sins, you have no answer. You have nothing to atone. The gospel comes to you this day, pleading with you one more time, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He is the strength. He is the one that overcomes sin and death through His atoning work, dying upon that cross, rising again. Come to Him. Believe in Him. Paul says, "No one stood next to me. Everyone deserted me. The Lord stood with me." Is the Lord with you? His presence is felt. Is His presence being felt with you? May God grant unto everyone this day grace to believe. And for the people of God, deal with our sins. May we deal with our sins and stop grieving the Spirit of God. And those who are seeking the face of God, listen. Paul says, indeed, He did strengthen. He will give you grace. You face insurmountable troubles and afflictions and don't have the foggiest idea how you will endure and keep up. The Lord will give you grace. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Believe in Him. Cry unto Him. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, You're standing with me. Lord, it is Your grace that counts. It is Your comfort that counts. Go to Him. And may it be that we sense His presence. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for Your marvelous grace. We thank You, Lord, for the strength that You give us. Many of us, Lord, as we face affliction, know it is indeed Your strength, for we know before the affliction how weak we were, and yet You've made us stronger, and You've brought us into the battles against so many things that has caused us, Lord, to cast ourselves upon You and to be strengthened and to walk by faith. And Lord, we thank You for these things. We praise Your name. Oh, grant, Lord, that we would uphold each other in prayer. And may it be for those in affliction, even this day, that You would be their comfort. May they be able to rejoice and may they be able to praise your name for all your blessings in heavenly places. In your precious name, amen.